you. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 tonight. Matthew 26 and verse 31. You'll find the text in the church Bible on page 1145. Matthew 26. If you looked at the bulletin last week and then looked at the bulletin for tonight, you'll see it's the same sermon as what was supposed to be last Sunday afternoon before we ended up canceling it, and I thought at the time that I would perhaps save it and use this for the next Lord's Supper or sometime in the future, but I decided to preach it tonight anyway, so we'll take a little break again from our Identity of God series tonight, because I think, as I've thought about it, this is a passage that I think a lot of us, myself included, need to hear with all that's going on, and so I think it's a good reminder that all of us could have in our minds. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to use that. And for those of you at home tonight, it's been posted on Facebook. So Matthew chapter 26, we'll start here at verse 31 and go to verse 46. This is the word of God. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." May the Lord bless his word to us tonight. Well, I don't think I have to be the one to say it. We all understand that there are many things in our lives at the moment that are trying our faith and testing our obedience. One of the things we've prayed many times as a congregation is for all the people who are hurting in one way or another. People are losing loved ones, and you might feel in your own life that you have problems at work or that you have strain in your relationships. You may be struggling to accept God's providence in your life and the various things that are going on in your life. Of course, there are countless issues in the world to leave us concerned in our own country. And of course, there are problems even in our own denomination that can have this effect on us. That can discourage us, that can fill us with doubt, that could possibly fill us with anger and frustration, that could lead us to make assumptions and on down the list. We may not always realize it, but one of the things this text tells us is that this situation is actually a dangerous situation for us when we are experiencing various trials and various temptations, because if we're not careful, we can fall into sin because of it. And that's why I think tonight's passage is exactly what all of us need to hear in this particular moment. And I will not be very specific on a lot of applications tonight. I trust that this is a text that applies quite widely to a lot of the different things that we all have going on in our lives. But it guards us to, it reminds us to guard ourselves against falling into temptation. Because like the disciples, we may think, I would never do that, I would never say that, or whatever it is. And yet, as Jesus says, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And so Jesus says here, and this is the sermon title, watch and pray. And that applies to every situation we're in. It certainly applies to the situation we're in right now. Watch and pray. Because again, your spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. And so that's the main point for us to see tonight. Since your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Well, let's consider first tonight that like the disciples, when it comes to trials and temptations, it's easy to think that you will not succumb. Look with me at verse 31, back to the beginning of the passage. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And if you're looking at your Bible, you'll see this is right after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And at this time, Jesus and his disciples decided to go to the nearby Mount of Olives. And as we're told here, he's mindful of the fact that the disciples are soon to abandon him. He knows this is what's going to happen. The New King James says they will be made to stumble. That there's going to be some kind of trial that's going to happen soon that's going to cause them to fall into sin and trip them up in their relationship with Jesus. And then that's because when it comes, it'll bring a great testing of their faith and a great temptation to sin. And of course, that great trial that Jesus is talking about in the text is his betrayal, which happens at the very end of our passage, and then all that happened after that, when the Jews arrested him, and then he's condemned, and he's sentenced to the cross. And Jesus quotes here in verse 31 from Zechariah 13, saying that he's soon to be struck, and they will scatter as a result, that they will not turn their backs on Christ forever, but they will abandon their Savior. And as we see later in the book of Matthew, that's exactly what happened. When they came and arrested Jesus, all the disciples forsook him and fled. Well, even though Jesus had forewarned the disciples repeatedly, and we see this in the Gospels, that he was going to be betrayed, that he was going to be sentenced to the cross and so forth, the disciples still, even to the very end, did not expect that it would happen. And that comes out here in the disciples' response. Jesus is saying, you're all going to abandon me sometime soon. And Peter and the others, what do they say in response to that? Verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, even if you all are made to stumble because of me, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all of the disciples. So here's Jesus saying, you're going to abandon me because I'm going to be betrayed. The disciples are saying, no, that will never happen. Jesus, we will be firm and we will stand next to you through the end. And the truth is, you and I can be just like Peter as his disciples, can't we? We can be just like it. Now, we are not usually forewarned of a great trial that's going to happen. We're also not usually or ever told, like Peter was, that we're going to fail when that trial comes our way. But I think if we stop and we think about ourselves, we can often adopt the attitude of, but I will never do that. Right? Not me. Right? I will never doubt the Lord's goodness. Right? I will never lie on my taxes, cheat on my spouse. I will never deny that I'm a Christian. I would never assume motives. I would never gossip to other people. I would never live by fear and not by faith. And you could go on and on and on. These people might do that, or other people may struggle with that, but I would never do that. Have you ever caught yourself thinking that way? Maybe not in as many words, but at least that attitude I think we all can fall into that attitude. And it's an ironic mixture of love for Christ on the one hand, where we want to be faithful to the Lord, but then also this sinful pride on the other hand, which says, I'm not as bad as everybody else, and so I'm not going to be like them. But no matter what, we tend to fall into this way of thinking. You know, back in 2015, there was a foreclosure crisis going on in our country, and people were losing their homes left and right. And I remember reading in the news of a man in Fort Myers, Florida. He had bought a modest home just a few years prior to the foreclosure crisis, and yet he had to lose his job, or he'd lost his job, and he had to start paying for his mother and all of her health expenses. And so he was another example where the bank had to take his house away. And as he was interviewed in the article, he and his family were living in their Ford Explorer, trying to figure out what to do. And the reporter said to him, did you ever think this would happen? And of course, the answer that's often given is the answer that this man said, no, I never once thought that I would be the guy who would lose my home. And that's what most people think when it comes to the great trials of the Christian faith and the great temptations of life in this world. We think, naturally, that we are immune to those types of things. But the truth of the text is, and the truth we have to come to grips with, is that none of us are immune to these things. They're not immune, we're not immune. And that's because, as we see secondly on the outline, we cannot forget that while our spirit may be willing, our flesh is always weak. And so look with me now at verse 37. Well, verses 36 and 37. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Verse 38. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Now, as I said earlier, Mount Olives, you have this olive orchard. Gethsemane is an olive orchard somewhere on the mountain. And it's a place that Jesus and the disciples would often meet. And this is just another example of that. And here, Jesus wants to spend time with the Father in prayer. He makes that clear. He's beginning to feel the crushing weight of the cross. He knows what is about to happen to him. And so he wants to go to the Father. But he doesn't want to be the only one who's praying to the Father. He tells here that Peter, James, and John, he wanted them to do the same thing. We saw that in verse 38. He says, stay here and watch with me. Now, we'll talk more in the next point about what it means to watch. But essentially, to keep in mind now is to watch is to be prepared. Right, and here's Jesus saying to the disciples, I want you to be prepared for this coming situation. I've warned you of a great test to your faith, a great temptation that's going to be in front of you, and I want you to be prepared for that. And one of the ways I want you to be prepared for that is by praying alongside of me. And that's why Jesus went off to pray himself. That's also why Jesus then rebuked the disciples for not doing so as well. We're told here that Jesus brought his request to the Father three times, and after each of the three times, he checked on the disciples. Boys and girls, what did he find the disciples doing? Sleeping. Right? Not watching, not praying, as he told them to do, but he found them sleeping. We see that in verse 40, we see that in verse 43, we see that in verse 45. So instead of watching and praying, as he told them and as he was doing himself, they're falling asleep. In other words, they're already failing the test that Jesus warned them about. And that's because, and this is the point he wants them to learn, while you may want to obey the Lord, it's harder than you think. And look at verses 40 and 41. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's interesting. If you go back to what we said in the first point tonight, there's no question about the disciples' desire to obey and to be faithful, is there? They made it crystal clear. Lord, even if we have to die, right, we'll die with you, but we will not deny you. This was obvious. Their spirits were willing. They had the right desires in the situation. And I think even here in the Garden of Gethsemane, they still have those same desires. When Jesus says, Peter, James, and John, come and watch and pray with me. None of them say, well, actually, Lord, it's been a long day. Can we please go get some shut-eye? No, none of them object whatsoever. They still have the right desires. If this is what the Lord wants, then this is what we want. They wanted to do the right thing. Right? The Spirit of God had given them the right desires. And yet, despite these right desires, they failed to watch in the garden. Because no matter how much you may want to obey the Lord, Jesus says your flesh is still weak. Right? Your physical flesh is still weak. Right? This is why they had such a hard time staying awake. It's because they really, they did just have a very long day. A very long day. Their bodies are weary. It's now late at night. They had just eaten a big meal at the Passover. You can put yourself in their situation. They've been working all day. They're tired. They're well fed. It's late. What happens after all of that? Well, we tend to get sleepy. We tend to go to bed. So physically, yes, it was hard for them to watch and to pray as a result. And sometimes that's why we fall into sin. Because physically we're weak. Maybe we just didn't get enough sleep last night, and that makes us now much more susceptible to becoming impatient and frustrated with our family and our friends. But more than that, we are to understand here that our flesh is weak in the spiritual sense. If Jesus had used the word for body, then we would know that he was only talking physically. But here he uses the Greek word for flesh. And in the Bible, the flesh typically, though not always, is used to speak of your sinful nature. And that's primarily the issue that Jesus is talking about here. They could not watch and they could not pray. Why? Yes, their physical flesh was weak, but they also had indwelling sin. That's what he's getting at. Yes, they were new creatures in Christ. Yes, they had new desires for Christ, good, right, holy desires, but the remnant of the old man was still there. The rebellious remnant that objects to everything good and right and holy. And Paul puts it this way in Galatians 5:17. He says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." This was the main problem for the disciples. They had godly desires to obey on the one hand, but they also had a sinful nature that was bent on disobeying on the other hand. And it's the same thing for you and for me as well. And it's the reason all of us are capable of falling. Falling into doubt, falling into despair, falling into whatever sin. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is very weak. Now, that's not to say that as believers we're hopeless when it comes to trials and temptations. Of course, we're far from hopeless. It's also not to give us an excuse for our failures. Well, it's not my fault. The flesh is weak. Jesus told me that. And it's also not to say there's nothing we can do about it. And if we're in Christ, there's everything we can do about it. We have the power to completely obey. But the point is, no matter how willing we are to obey, we're still capable of succumbing to any trial and to any temptation. And I think the scriptures make that pretty clear for us. So in our adult Bible class right now, we're looking at the heroes of the faith. All these great people who have lived a faithful life in service to the Lord. And yet every single one of them has faults. Some of them have quite significant faults. Now, you see, you can think of David, for example. I realize that maybe the David's the obvious example for all of us, but what a clear example of this. God says of David, "Here is a man who is after my own heart." Now, that's a pretty incredible statement. And yet the same Bible says, "Here is a man who is willing to commit adultery and commit murder." So here's a man after God's own heart, and yet here's a murderer and adulterer in the same person. And he's a hero of the faith. Right? How do these things go together? Well, that is the problem of all of us. And this is how it is with the people of God. Inside of us is this mixture of good desires and bad desires. And as Paul says in Galatians 5:7, that's why there's a war going on inside of us and why it feels like there's a war going on inside of us.
Do I do this? Do I not?
I want to do this, but I shouldn't. I know I should do this, but I don't want to do this. Why do we have that battle? It's because of what Jesus says here. In Christ, you're able to do great and godly things, and you should do them. But as a sinner, you're also able to do horrible, sinful things. And that's what we have to understand. And that's what Jesus is telling the disciples here as they keep falling asleep and failing to watch with him. And this is what he's teaching us as well. The spirit is willing, yes, praise God. But the flesh is weak. And therefore, as we come to our third point on the outline, in order to avoid succumbing to trials and temptations, we must watch and pray. We must watch and pray. Now, as we look at chapter 26 here in Matthew's Gospel, we know the disciples failed when the time came. We can all read ahead. Jesus is eventually arrested. The disciples, they run away, and Peter denies him three times before it's the next morning. But again, Jesus told them what to do so that those things would not happen. And what did he say to do? Well, he says it in many places, but it's most clearly stated again in verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So let's break this down. First, he says, watch. I said earlier, to watch is to be prepared. Maybe to spell it out a bit more, to watch is to be spiritually alert. Right? To watch is to not go to sleep, if you will, thinking that danger will never strike. Right? To watch is to not assume that you will never be tested and you will never be tempted, or that you're beyond certain struggles. Rather, to watch is to know what you're capable of and to take heed. To watch is to be on the lookout for the threats to your faith and obedience and to do whatever is needed to protect yourself from them. Now, watchfulness has a general aspect, so as you go about your day, you're always to have a wartime mentality, realizing that the enemy is there, the enemy is hidden, and the enemy is at work, and we are to be ready, never letting our guard down, but always prepared. And watchfulness also has a specific aspect to it. So when we enter into certain temptations where we know there will likely be certain temptations or certain tests, we need to be especially watchful. Jesus says, knowing your flesh is weak, watch. Be on alert. Be prepared. Know what you're capable of. Be on the lookout. Or as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This is what Jesus is getting at. Watch. But also, he says, pray. And as I mentioned earlier briefly, praying is perhaps one of the best ways to watch. The two go together. So knowing that your flesh is weak, if we're to pray, it's because we need the Lord's strength in the moment. We need the Lord's protection. We need the Lord's help to identify temptation. We need the Lord's help to prepare us for temptation. We need the Lord's help to change our desires in the moment, to give us wisdom in how we should respond, to shut our mouths when we need them to be shut, or open our mouths when we need them to be open. We need grace in every moment to say yes to righteousness and to say no to sinfulness. And so as Jesus says here, you must ask and rely on God in prayer if those things are going to be true for you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. Jesus taught us to pray. And that should be our prayer constantly. In the morning, throughout the day, as we go to bed, and especially when we're about to enter a situation where we know there will be a test or a temptation. As we see here in verse 41, this is the way to avoid, he says, entering into temptation. Right? That is to say, being watchful and prayerful are the means that God uses to keep us from being ensnared by temptation so that we fall prey to it. Otherwise, like the disciples, we'll fall asleep, so to speak, and we'll fail. And so here he says, if you're to pass the test, if you're to resist the temptation, whether that's a small temptation or an awful large temptation, we need to learn from the failures of the disciples here. Right? We're not to think like they did, that we're beyond the possibility of falling into certain sins, but rather we are to know, as Jesus says, my flesh is weak, and I need to watch and pray. We prayed this morning about all, even this evening, we prayed about all that's going on in Kentucky and other parts of the country that dealt with tornadoes. Right? I wasn't there when it happened, but I'm certain that there were plenty of tornado sirens going off in Kentucky on Friday night. And of course, we have tornado sirens that go off in Lafayette. And if you live here long enough, I've only lived here 4 years, I never listened to a single one of them, unless it looks to be pretty ominous outside. And I'm sure that there were plenty of people in Kentucky who also didn't listen to the sirens. And that's not to say that certain things happen to them, but the point is, the sirens can go off, but they're not always empty warnings. Right? They're not always empty warnings. And here Jesus is giving us a warning. And the haunting thing about the warning is, it's far worse than a tornado, and it's never, ever an empty one. There are no false alarms with what Jesus is talking about. Right? The siren never goes off as a test. That's not the point. It's never an empty warning. He says the flesh really is weak, which means sin really is possible at any moment of any day of your life here on earth. And that's why Jesus says, listen and be ready. Watch and pray. As Puritan John Owen puts it, if we do not abide in prayer, we will abide in temptation. And so as Paul puts it in Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. This is how we're strong in the moment. This is how we can say no to the temptations. We watch and we pray. And as we see fourthly and finally on the outline, when we watch and we pray, we will be strengthened because Jesus has watched and prayed for us. As we've seen in the past, Jesus knew what awaited him, and he forewarned his disciples of it many times previous to this day. But just because Jesus knew he was going to be crucified, and just because he was fully God, for that matter, did not mean that it was easy for Jesus. You see, we can't forget that Jesus was also fully human, who came to obey as a real human being. And humanly speaking, what was the cross? The cross was a real test to his faith and a real temptation to his obedience. Because it wasn't just that he was going to die, and Jesus knew that. It was also what the Father was going to do to him as he died. That the Father, the one he had shared intimate communion with from eternity past, was going to abandon him on the cross and pour out his wrath. Notice in his prayers, Jesus kept talking about the cup. What's he saying there? Verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as you will. Verse 42. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Verse 44. So he left them again, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words about the cup. What is the cup? The cup is the Father's wrath. For example, Isaiah 51:17 says, wake yourself, stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. So here Jesus, he's praying about the cup because he knows that the Father's wrath is what awaits him. As one author puts it to B.T. Enyabwili, he says, in Gethsemane, Jesus faced all God's wrath against all the evil and sin committed by all his people throughout all time. And again, humanly speaking, Jesus did not want that to happen. And that's why Matthew tells us in verse 37 that he began to be deeply distressed and sorrowful. And then in verse 38, Jesus said to the disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. So he's so upset, he's so overwhelmed by what is about to take place, he feels like he could just die. The weight is crushing on him incredibly. Luke says in his account, Luke 22:44, that Jesus was in such agony that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. On this, R.C. Sproul explains, and I think rightly, he says, the intensity of Jesus' prayer was such that the capillaries in his forehead burst. Before the crown of thorns was ever put on his brow, rivulets of blood cascaded down his cheeks as he wrestled with his sorrow over the suffering he faced. And Jesus knew this was no small task ahead of him. He knew the nature of the Father's wrath, and he knew that he was about to endure the full brunt of it. And so his faith, and here's the connection, his faith then, in the wisdom of the Father's plan, and the Father's love for him and goodness to him was now being tested. And his obedience to the Father's plan, which he was called to this world to do and to obey perfectly, was also being tried. And that comes out here even in the prayers. Father, isn't there another way? Do I really have to go to the cross? And so Jesus, knowing he was coming into this time of great testing and great temptation, what does he do? He doesn't rely on his own power. But he watches and he prays. That's exactly what he does here. Again, verse 38. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He knew what awaited him. He did not ignore it. He didn't act. He didn't ignore the cross or act like it was no big deal. But rather, he acknowledged it to be the threat, so to speak, that it was to his faith and to his obedience. And in light of that, he sought the Father in prayer. First, he asked for the Father to take the cup away. Verse 39, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Inhumanly speaking, not wanting to go to the cross, this is his desire. Lord, is there any way to avoid this? Notice he also prays that prayer with humble submission to the Father's will. And then second, once he learned that, no, there was not another way, he prayed for strength. And that's what he means when he says in verse 42, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Father, help me now to do what you want me to do. And as we see later in verse 44, he offered that same request again. He didn't just pray once and leave it at that. He prayed for long periods of time. As he says in verse 40, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And he prayed persistently, not giving up, but going back to the Father time and time again, asking, Father, help me. And as a result, Jesus was strengthened. Look at verses 45 and 46. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I try to bring this out of my voice, but there's a major change here. And just so we're clear, Jesus is not saying, rise, my betrayer is coming. Let's start running in the opposite direction. No, he's saying, rise, my betrayer is coming. Let's go and meet him. Now he's not trembling as he thinks about the cross. Now he's looking at the cross straight in the eye, and he sees Judas coming in his direction. And he says, let's go. And he walks straight to Judas because he knows that's the one who will lead to his arrest and who will lead to his eventual death on the cross. And as we know the rest of the story, Jesus remains silent while he's on trial. Jesus lets them hang him on the cross. And of course, he not only dies, but he is truly forsaken by the Father and suffers his wrath. And he did all of that, not necessarily because he had all of the strength to do it in and of himself. But he was able to do it, I'm convinced, or to see, because he watched and he prayed. But that is what enabled him to press on. It's interesting. Luke tells us in his account, Luke 22:43, I won't read it, but we're told that after Jesus prayed in the garden, an angel appeared to Jesus and strengthened him. And what that tells us is that God the Father heard his prayers, and God the Father used his prayers to give him the strength he needed to trust and to obey so that he would go on to the cross to save our sinful souls. And you see, the point in all of this is that if Jesus Christ needed to watch and pray to live faithfully to the Father in this world, then how much more do we need to do the same given the weakness of our sinful flesh? But Jesus is not just our example in all of this. We also need to see that Jesus perfectly, because he perfectly watched and prayed, is why we are able to be helped when we watch and pray. Because if Jesus had not watched and prayed, he would not have made it to the cross. And if he would not have made it to the cross, we would still be completely helpless and completely hopeless. But we're not. By virtue of Christ's sinless life and shed blood, there is grace and there is power for us in every moment, for every test, for every temptation, when we watch and when we pray. And so let us not think that we're beyond the possibility of succumbing. I would never do such a thing, for that will lead us only to failure, as it did for Peter and for the others. But rather, let us watch and let us pray. And may the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us so that we love one another, so that we don't rush to judgment, so that we don't spread gossip, so that we don't fall into all kinds of sins. Let us know that our flesh is weak, even in this moment. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need that help. So again, let us watch and let us pray to the one who can always give us that help. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we know that when life is not going our way, it can be so easy for us to complain and to get angry and to think that we deserve better. Lord, we've been praying for weeks about so many people have lost loved ones, and that can cause us to doubt your goodness. That can fill us with great despair and frustration, even anger towards you. Lord, there's so many other struggles going on in people's work life and family life and with their kids and with their spouse, and so many things that tempt us even more to become frustrated and angry, and to take things out on others and to say things that we shouldn't. And of course, as we think of all that's going on in our presbytery and all that's going on in our denomination, it can be easy to do the same things. So Lord, whether we're tempted to be angry, whether we're tempted to blame, whether we're tempted to gossip, whatever the temptation is, we pray that you would guard us and protect us. Lord, we may have differing opinions on things, and we may disagree even on a variety of issues, but we pray that you'd help us all to be faithful to you. And we pray that you'd help us to take heed to your word tonight, that we'd pursue faithfulness by watching and praying, to make sure that whatever we are doing, we are not sinning against you. We're not falling prey to the evil one who is constantly and powerfully at work. Lord, we are weak in and of ourselves. And so cause us constantly to seek strength from you. And Lord, give us that strength more and more to serve you well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.